We have an impromptu now on WFMT. Impromptus are supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts for members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. And we are in the Levin Performance Studio this afternoon with tenor Lawrence Brownlee and pianist Craig Terry for this live impromptu, featuring music by Benjamin Britten, Rossini, Daniel Schneider. There'll be a spiritual and probably an encore if we're all really good. Mr. Brownlee is in Chicago, thanks to Lyric Opera's ongoing production of Rossini's Cenerentola, which opened this past Sunday and continues through October 30th at the Civic Opera House. And if you'd like more information, and we'll give this to you later on as well, visit lyricopera.org or call 312-827-5600. Our artists are going to open up with one of the wonderful folk song settings by Benjamin Britten, Sally Gardens. Britten created these settings as encores for him to perform with Sir Peter Pears. However, having called this particular song a folk song, I've really got to retract just a bit, because we can actually trace this melody to an Irish composer by the name of Herbert Hughes, who based his tune on folk material he overheard. And the text is a poem attributable to no less than William Butler Yeats. It's certainly an old story, though. It's one of hasty, youthful love and sorrowful, melancholy results. And by the way, Sally is not the name of a girl, but rather a reference to the weeping willow tree. And there's plenty of weeping going on in this song, especially as depicted in the piano part. Here then are Lawrence Brownlee and Craig Terry in Sally Gardens. Sally Gardens, the Britten setting of the song, as performed by Lawrence Brownlee and Craig Terry. And I mean, as I listen to that, I hear, and I'm sure I'm not the first to notice this, a kind of a Schubertian quality to it, in the sense that there's a particular expressiveness, certainly in the piano part, and an amazing melodic sensitivity in terms of the meaning of the text. You guys feel the same way? Craig?
Absolutely. I mean, this is, the words are so evocative, and the setting is just perfect, I think, instrumentally, of what, and what the way Larry sings it makes it very easy to play in this way.
Yeah, very true, very true. And of course, you've done Schubert songs as well. And
yes, it's one of my loves. I'm a great lover of art song and Lieder. And so, of course, working with this piece and other pieces of Schubert, it is something that's close to my heart. So I filled it in a way that I feel that you always have to connect to the text, which makes it more alive for you. And so I definitely do, as Craig mentioned, you know, feel that the text and the setting musically does put you in a place that you really feel something in this piece.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about your career and how it's going, and
yes,
fantastically, of course. You're all over the world. I mean, but at what point when you were younger, did you really kind of see the light bulb go on and realize that this is what you're going to be doing?
Well, some people say that you find your career by accident. It's interesting because the piece that I just performed was probably the first piece I ever sang in a classical manner.
Ah.
My voice teacher gave me this piece years ago. I think I was 18 years old, and he said, you should sing this. And I thought, it's in English. And I always thought that classical music was in another language. But he explained to me, of course, this was written in the classical style. And so, when I started taking lessons at the age of 18 or 19 years old, I had a teacher that said, you know, you have something special. You have a gift that you should share with the world of classical music. And so it was from there that I began on this path to where I am today. That was just the beginning, but a lot of things happened in between me starting there and, of course, being here now with you today. But a lot of people that have poured into my life and really encouraged me, but they all felt that I had a gift that I should be cultivated and shared with the world of classical music. Yeah,
it's one thing to be a singer and be a good singer, but it's another thing to be a singing actor. and how does that develop?
I mean, it's funny because I started in high school doing show choir. And doing community theater. So all of these things were important they wanted you to be well-rounded. Many years I worked as a singer dancer in an amusement park in Ohio. So growing up singing gospel, my musical background is varied. And so all of those styles merged together, you know, have given me a palette of things that I can draw from. So being a singing actor comes from me probably being a ham. I like to have fun, and so comedic opera is right at home for me. So I like to do that. But yes, you know, all the things that I've done, you know, again, from junior high school even into high school and being in show choir, working in amusement parks, and all the things have, you know, equipped me to have some things, hopefully, to be somewhat talented and more than just singing.
I'll say. And, comedic opera, that's certainly Rossini. And,
yes.
And I don't know whether most people consider Cinderella to be comedic, but certainly in Rossini's hands. There's a lot of comedy there.
It is. It's a great setting of the story, the fabled story that we know. And I always tell people that it's a great first piece, a great first piece to come to if you've never seen opera before. So many people think, oh, opera is this and that, and they have an opinion that's probably not as informed as it could be. But I tell them, come to Cinderella. You'll understand the story. You'll see the human interaction, and you'll see all the things that happen. Of course, there are a few tweaks in this story, because it's not like the classic story we know. The prince has a very large part in it, in that he is there from the beginning.
Right.
So he gets a chance to be involved, and he doesn't just come at the end when there's the ball. So it's a very active role that I get a chance to play, and it's a great ensemble piece that I think people leave tapping the melodies. Also, I think you can have a great fun night of laughter once you see the human interaction, and the jokes is written into the music, so it's a fun, fun piece, and I enjoy singing it.
And another change from the fairy tale, as we know it, of course, is there's no glass slipper.
You know, I heard something about that. I think I read it or someone told me. But I heard in the time that the story was written for the opera, there was a law written that a woman could not have anything below her waist or her waist exposed.
Oh.
So, of course, for the slipper idea, you couldn't do it in the opera.
Right.
So the slipper became a bracelet.
Right.
So it's now, instead of a slipper, it's a glass bracelet.
Which brings us to what you're going to do for us today from the opera.
Yes.
Because I guess this is the point at which you've decided you're going to find that,
absolutely,
that bracelet and that gal.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. I'm going to win her, and I will not be discouraged. I've decided, she's told me that she loves me, and so... But I have to find her in her place that she resides for real, because she wants me to know her for who she really is. And so I'm going to find her.
And the aria specifically is?
It's called Si Ritrovarla Io Giuro.
Good. I wanted you to say that.
Speranza, frido di more, dentro la mia cuore sta da pugnar. Frido di more, dentro la mia cuore sta da pugnar. Dolce speranza, frido di more, dentro il cuore. Stanno a punir, domanderemo, domanderemo. Ma è da guidar, ricercheremo, ritroveremo.
Si, ritrovarla, io giuro. Yes, I swear I will find her. Don Ramiro in La Cenerentola of Rossini, as performed there by tenor Lawrence Brownlee with pianist Craig Terry. And Lawrence Brownlee is Don Ramiro in the production taking place at Lyric currently. And not to be missed from what I hear, so I'd better get myself over there. And boy, as I'm listening to you do that, I'm thinking to myself, what are the challenges in particular to doing that for a singer? I mean, just listening to it, breath control, range, but tell me from your point of view what it takes.
My teachers told me earlier on that I had a voice that was suitable for bel canto music. Bel canto requires musicality, a high range, which my voice has always sat pretty high, mm-hmm. flexibility, control, nuances. So when I think of all those things, that's to me what bel canto is. And so my teacher told me a long time ago, she said, you have to make sure something that sounds difficult, you have to make it sound easy. Something that we understand and know as difficult, make it sound easy. So I'm a big fan of refined singers. I spend a lot of time listening on YouTube and people that really phrase and shape their passages. They think them out. Everything is thought out, well thought out, and it sounds. I hope that it sounds improvised, but it should sound as if that it really just came out of your soul in some way, shape, or form. So with me, always trying to shape it to be an artist, to make it sound like it is something that is a bit higher class. Of course, in this, I'm playing the role of a prince, and so it should come off my tongue or from my body, my thinking. Very well put together. And so that's always what I think. I know that it's difficult because I feel it and I'm working as I sing, but trying to be in control of what's happening so that it does, again, sound somewhat refined.
Are there particular artists who have done this in the past that you find yourself admiring?
Oh, I have so many people that I admire, you know, great singers that, you know, maybe not necessarily from the bel canto genre, but singers. I mean, when people ask me, what got you into classical music? It was Pavarotti was the first one that I was crazy about him. Uh-huh. Of course, after that, you know, getting a great education and learning about so many different other singers, but specifically in the bel canto realm, Rockwell Blake, great fan of his.
Yeah.
Alfredo Kraus, who was not necessarily a bel canto singer, right. But I love Alfredo Kraus because I just thought he was a graceful singer. And the thing I love about Alfredo Kraus more than anything else, I was born on the same day.
Oh.
November 24th. He was born in 1927, but I was born a little later than that. But singers of class and grace, Ellie Omling, Lily Pons, people that I think just are real music makers. Janet Baker,
right.
She said she always wanted to be in the service of the music and take herself out of the equation. So these are people that are true artists, and that's the people that I try to emulate in my singing.
Great. You mentioned your soul, and we're going to hear something certainly relating very directly to that right now. And the idea of doing, spirituals is something that you know well, and for mm-hmm. a long, long time, many, many great artists have turned to spirituals.
Mm-hmm.
But your approach is a little different.
Yes, it is. Obviously, you know, myself being an African-American man, a singer, I think there's a great responsibility to carry on the traditions.
Yeah.
Of course, I grew up in church, singing this music, living with this, and it's something of my, you know, it's the music of my ancestors, so it's very close to my heart. After I established myself as a Rossini singer, a bel canto singer, I felt like it was a time that I could, do this. And my friend, the great composer Damien Sneed, he and I got together and we said, you know, we want to put these together, not necessarily in the way that people know them, but to put together all of the collective things that we've learned over the years. I've studied classical and jazz and pop and gospel. And so these are merging together all those styles to present this music in a different way. But it is definitely still, you know, my heritage and where, you know, what part of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear this now. We're going to hear Come By Here.
Yes, Come By Here.
From the CD.
Yes.
And, let's go for it right now.
Come by here, good Lord. come by here. Come by here, good Lord, come by here. Come by here, good Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Somebody's dying, Lord. Somebody's dying, Lord. Somebody's dying, Lord. Somebody need you, Lord. Somebody need you, Lord. Somebody need you, Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Come by here, good Lord. Come by here. Come by here, good Lord. Come by here. Come by.
Come by here, the spiritual arranged by Damien Sneed and performed by tenor Lawrence Brownlee with pianist Craig Terry. And both of them are here live this afternoon for this impromptu. And Mr. Brownlee is appearing in Cenerentola at Lyric Opera of Chicago. And I mean, I think that was quite wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Craig was the best part of that.
Whoa, he was.
Not a chance. Not
I thought he
chance.
Was about to fly up that seat. I was like, yeah. Go.
And what I loved so much about it is, as you mentioned, the tradition is there, but also, you know, there are plenty of jazz elements going on.
Absolutely.
There, updating it, and it's
absolutely
just a great arrangement.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, we're taking the pieces of what, you know, the bones or, you know, the meat, actually, of our heritage and putting it into 2015 or current day. But I think it's music. Of course, the message is there, but I think it's just... put in a different context, and people have really responded well thus far to it. And so I'm, you know, definitely grateful to Damien, who's a fantastic arranger. He does a lot of different things, but these pieces have been very successful, and it's in large part to his writing and composing.
Yeah, great stuff. And speaking of jazz.
Yes.
Yardbird, the
yes.
opera that you did for Opera Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, Charlie Parker, of
Absolutely.
Course. And, I mean, the great bebop and a reed man, mm-hmm. and a very complicated life.
Yes.
How does one tell that story?
You know, it was a great education for me. I knew who Charlie Parker was. Of course, this is an iconic figure who's had such an important print, indelible print on our music heritage as a country. As a, you know, the world of music has learned so much from Charlie Parker. But a lot of people don't know about his hardship, and he endured a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of hardship, and when he died, I think he was 35 years old.
Yeah.
But they said, the coroner said his body looked like it was that of a 60-year-old.
It was ravaged.
You know, his yeah. body had been used up, and so he had a hard life growing up in the South in Kansas City, and of course dealing with, of course, addiction. There were so many things that went wrong in his life, but what we still enjoy today, the music, the legacy of Charlie Parker, is so important, I think. for the world of music. So for me, it was a great honor. Of course, again, being an African-American man, playing the role of such an important figure was very humbling for me, and a lot of growth and learning from that experience. So I enjoyed it a great deal.
Did you by any chance get to read any of Stanley Crouch's?
I did. I did read a lot. I didn't read the whole book, but I actually sat down and I was talking to the composer and the librettist, Bridget Rimbley, about it. And we actually looked at passages and talked about, you know, things that you understand about his life. He would practice 14 to 15 hours a day. You know, when they would talk about the fact that when he would work with Dizzy Gillespie, that he would go over to Dizzy's house and not be able to go inside because Dizzy's wife didn't want Charlie Parker there, and how they would work out things outside the door. And so many different things about, you know, a hard life, but music was in him, and he was a fountain of music. And of course, you see it today, and people are still, of course, paying homage to him because it's a strong imprint that he has left us with.
Right. Well, Crouch is saying that it's going to take him 3 volumes to tell the story
of course
of Charlie's life. How do they do it in one opera?
We scratched the surface, and I think we tried to take from many of the important moments of his life, some of the people of his life, of course, his mother. He was married several times. He had some bad things happen to him. For example, the loss of his daughter. She died. Of course, he had the accidents, the drug addiction. You know, when people think about Charlie Parker, they think about just the drug addictions.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But so many hardships that he dealt with. He was in a mental institution and so many other things, too. So what we did is scratch the surface. But I think we left people wanting to go and find out more about Charlie Parker. And I think from the outset, that was the goal, so people would go and really understand and search about the life of Charlie Parker.
Is the opera going to have a life beyond Opera Philadelphia?
Yes. The goal is now, there's already talk that it will be produced in other places. And I'm very happy to be a part of that will be coming up. We haven't necessarily nailed it down, but there are very strong talks in the work that we will be presenting this piece in various cities.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to sing for us from it?
I'm going to sing the first aria from Charlie Parker. It's called What a Night. And this is supposed to be where he's in this kind of purgatory. He enters into Birdland, the place that has been named after him, and he is somewhat in a ghost presence or purgatory state, but he talks about, like, not believing that he'd be there again, but this is the start of the journey that we tell the opera, in the opera, and so it's the signature piece.
Okay.
Yes.
Lawrence Brownlee and Craig Terry, What a Night from the opera Yardbird.
What a night, what a sight for sore eyes. Birdland, 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 I doubted that I'd see this place again. What a night, what a sight. What a bad night, what a sight for sore eyes. Birdland, Birdland, they kicked me out of this joint. But like they say, no point being mad. Scratch your sorry ass, be glad. hear me? Do you still know me? I'm bird, the cage bird, oh, the bad, 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 bad cat bird. Can you hear me? It's a secret, this ornithology is between us, my birds. Nobody can know that I am here. Nobody shall see that I am here, my little jazz birds, people throw us bread, but sometimes that is not enough, that is not enough. What a bad night, what a sign for some. What a sign for sunrise, birdland, birdland, birdland. I doubt it that I see this place again.
Music from the opera Yardbird. Daniel Schneider wrote the music, the libretto by Bridget A. Wimberly, and the performance there of What a Night, Birdland, by Lawrence Brownlee and Craig Terry. I certainly hope that opera has legs. I really do. I want to hear more.
Thank you. It was received well, and a great cast. Angela Brown was fantastic in that. A young baritone, Will Liverman. Really some wonderful performances, and the critics were very positive about the opera, so we do hope that it will have some legs and be around for a while.
Well, now, I want to thank you very much for coming in, and Craig as well, but I understand you may have an encore for us.
Yes, I do. I would like to offer something. Well, I'm a big fan of all music. I said that before. And so one of the guys I really loved was Nat King Cole.
Oh, yeah.
So many of the singers. And so one of his signature pieces is Unforgettable. And so it's a piece that I've recently picked up and been toying with. And so Craig and I, this is actually, I think, the first time that it'll ever be performed by me. So it's a
Impromptu.
So to speak.
Yeah, so Unforgettable.
All right.
Yes.
Unforgettable, that's what you unforgettable, though near or far, like a dream that clings close to me, the thought of you does things to me never before has someone been more unforgettable in every way. and forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
The Nat King Cole song, Unforgettable, written by Irving Gordon from 1951, and sung here by Lawrence Brownlee with pianist Craig Terry. You make it your own. I mean, it's an iconic song, and it's yours. Nicely done, both of you.
You can always go better. No, I think, you know, when we do a tribute to anyone, the goal is never to copy them.
Right.
But to really, you know, to give your own take on it, I think that's built in the artistic license to have fun with it. But the music, for me, I love it, and so I think I just want to express it in the way I feel it, and so I enjoy the piece, and so
it comes through.
Thank you, Craig.
Comes
You're
through.
Awesome.
Thank you. So
and might I also say that the two of you work beautifully together, and well, you ought to take the show on the
We're
road.
Take
at
the
some
show
point.
On the road.
Yay. You really should. Anyway, that brings us to the end. Reluctantly. To this live impromptu with tenor Lawrence Brownlee and pianist Craig Terry. You can see Mr. Brownlee as Don Ramiro in Lyric Opera of Chicago's acclaimed production of Rossini's Cenerentola at the Civic Opera House through October 30th. Tickets and information can be gotten easily at lyricopera.org or by calling 312-827-5600. And our thanks again to these great musicians for coming by and being with us today. Thanks also to our music producer, Chris Willis, and to the producer of Impromptu, Louise Frank. These Impromptus on WFMT are supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. If you enjoyed this live performance, please become a sustaining member today. Ongoing monthly contributions are one of the most effective ways to support the station. It's quick and easy. Become a sustaining member now by pledging online at WFMT.com. This is WFMT Chicago, 98.7 FM, HD1, and WFMT.com.